Good morning, Teachers on Fire. I hope you are feeling fine after a week of teaching. I'm excited on the Teachers on Fire podcast to get back to interviews this week. And that's been something that I've kept away from for quite some time, going right back to COVID. It's been about 2 years. But today, I have the pleasure to speak with Jeremy Jorgensen. Jeremy is a veteran teacher of 25 years who is passionate about learning, teaching, working with kids, and supporting educators. You can follow Jeremy on X at Jeremy A. Jorg. Jeremy, thanks so much for coming on the show today. Are you ready to light it up?
I am. Thanks for having me, Tim. I'm a little dismayed here hearing you say a veteran teacher of 25 years is making me feel kind of old, but it is what it is. So thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm right there with you, my friend. So I feel it too. I still remember being that young teacher. I'm sure you do as well. It is story time, Jeremy. So let's jump right into it. Please share with us about a low moment or an experience of adversity that you faced in your teaching or education career and describe how you overcame it.
Earlier in my career, like most teachers, I struggled with classroom management. And I found in my first 5 or so years, it went rather well. But then behaviors became a little more challenging in my classroom to the point where it was making it tough for me to do a good job teaching. And at that moment, I had to kind of decide I either needed to change a few things or maybe teaching wasn't going to be the best fit for me. And so luckily, I decided to try to change a few things. And that was at the point where I kind of started to realize the power of professional development or doing some things on my own. To try to solve problems in my classroom. So I specifically remember reading a couple books. First book was Teaching with Love and Logic. And that book was really powerful for me in the way I approached working with kids in my classroom. The whole idea of keeping my calm, giving kids time to de-escalate, putting them in the position of the thinkers and problem solvers. And that really helped a lot. And then the second book that I really enjoyed was called Choice Theory in the Classroom by William Glasser. And that book, because I'm a science teacher, and in it, it just describes about what kids are looking for in the classroom and also really goes into detail on learning teams. And so that helped me embrace more of the social aspect of my learners and helped me kind of organize my classroom in a way to put kids in a position to talk and communicate and try to make a more satisfying experience for them. And those two books combined and then just trying things and seeing what worked and then adjusting, it was really helpful for me in overcoming that. It's not perfect. I still have challenges, but those things really did help a lot.
I am going to add a strong second to that first title that you mentioned, Teaching with Love and Logic. And in fact, that's actually sort of the bedrock philosophy at the school that I'm at right now. So, and I happen to be reading through it. I think I read a few pages last night, actually. So Teaching with Love and Logic, if you're out there, maybe you're struggling, maybe you're not. I strongly recommend, and I can tell Jeremy obviously does as well, Teaching with Love and Logic. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to add too that it is kind of a buzzword or buzz thing in education right now to talk about building relationships. And I completely agree. Those two books really helped me realize that. But I also, when I talk to teachers and I see it with myself, that when people say that, a lot of folks don't realize how hard that is, that persistent commitment to doing that even when the other people, your students, aren't necessarily receptive. And so I've come to really admire that persistence and relationship building in my colleagues. And I like to share that with other people too, that the teachers are just amazing in their ability to keep after it day after day and still building those relationships when sometimes the other parties aren't as willing.
Right. That's well said. Well, Jeremy, I'm realizing I got a little excited about your story and I jumped right past the introduction. I wanted to ask you a little bit more. Tell us about your current context in education. Where are you located? What kind of school are you currently in? And what does your position look like?
Thank you. I was hoping we'd come back to it. I teach in Arborvitae, Wisconsin, which is way up north in Wisconsin. And it's beautiful. It's called the Great North Woods. So I'm surrounded by lakes and trees. It's kind of like an outdoor paradise. My school is a little over 500 students. It's a pre-K-8 school and is beautiful. It feels practically brand new. It's well maintained. I don't know if I mentioned I teach eighth grade, and we have teaching teams, and the staff that I work with, they're all amazing. I've been incredibly lucky to be at this school for 25 years. I also want to shout out now, if it's okay with you, shout out to my teammates. So to Brenda and Megan and Shannon and Deb, teammates make all the difference. I wish every single teacher was able to be on a team where they felt supported and could share the workload. That makes a huge difference. I teach physical science, social studies, and I also teach what's called crew, which is kind of like a homeroom. And so that's really also a good place where we get to build relationships. But I absolutely love where I teach. I'm very lucky.
I keep hearing, Jeremy, about the crew program. I've got to get on board with it. We don't have it in my context, but I keep hearing great things about it. Yes. Jeremy, you love to write, and your work on Medium.com is what connected the two of us. So tell me, what fuels you to write about your professional learning journey?
So I'm approaching 50 this year, and a couple things fell into place. First, I just happened to stumble upon a book by Austin Kleon that's called Show Your Work. And part of the premise of that book was to just kind of be public with what you're doing, sharing that out in the world, documenting kind of life. And so I started to try it, documenting what was going on in the classroom, sharing it out. And it's kind of like it's become my anti-old grumpy teacher defense kit. And so it keeps me focusing on positive things. It keeps me learning new things, keeps me up on technology. One of the things I don't want to do is become stagnant, or I don't want to be sitting there and then having people talk about all of these things and not really know exactly what they're talking about because I haven't kind of kept up. And so writing's kind of become my avenue for kind of personal development. And trying to keep on top of my game. I'd really like to finish the last third of my career better and more positive than I started.
Love that mindset. Yeah, there's that old expression, and I won't get it quite right, but it's the idea that we don't know what we think until we write it out. And there's just something powerful that I know you've discovered, and you know that I'm on board as well. Putting pen to paper or keyboard to blogosphere, whatever that looks like. Jeremy, thinking about things that are setting you on fire for learning, one thing coming up on your calendar is the EL Education Conference in Denver. Tell us why you were selected to be an ELFluencer, and let us know how you plan to document your learning there. What is setting you on fire about EL Education?
Okay, so first, I believe I was selected first because of the weekly newsletter I send out. Of course, I had to apply, and so I used the back issues of that and then also my social media sharing as part of that application. The second thing is that I am a huge proponent of EL education. I've taught in an EL education school for my whole career, and so I've been to these conferences before. I absolutely love that EL is focused on the whole kid. And so they focus on mastery of skills, but also character development and then producing high quality work. And to me, that's like the perfect trifecta. It feels great. And I am so fortunate that I have my own kids in my school. So I've already taught my daughter and I'll teach my other one next year. I have seen how this positively impacts my kids. And then also all of the other kids. Mm-hmm. And so in Denver, I get to go, and part of my role is to just document and share my experience. So the lead up, I get to share the sessions that I'm going through. I hope to publish my takeaways in the newsletter, share that on social media, and really just uplift what I already think is a wonderful thing. Another part of it that I love is they have this whole mindset where at the foundation of education is that whole idea that you're getting smart to do good. And so that just that simple statement really meshes with my personal philosophy and why I like to be a teacher. And it actually is kind of the foundation. Our school has a mission statement, or a lot of schools do. And so my school is Arbor Vitae Woodruff School. And so our mission statement, let me see, I didn't want to mess it up here. It's all about helping kids to achieve their personal greatness. And whether that may be for every student, it's all different, but I'm really passionate about it. So it's just a perfect fit.
There's a difference between acquiring knowledge and skills in order to do good in the world and sort of the old tired narrative that we hear sometimes, the age-old narrative of getting the good grades to get the best college, to get the best job, to make the most money. I mean, if that's all there is, that's a little empty, that falls a little short. I was thinking while you were talking about EL learning, we should talk about what the EL stands for. Now, I'll give you my sense, my limited sense. I show a video every year to my middle schoolers called Austin's Butterfly. And it is a video that features Ron Berger, who I think is either the leader or the founder, or I know he's up there. You're going to tell me here in a moment. But I find that video, Jeremy, maybe the most powerful video I've ever come across in education. Honestly, I am not overstating it. I think it's so important for every teacher and student to see. So talk a little bit. I think EL stands for expeditionary learning. Have I got that right?
Well, and I want to be, it's changed over the years. So I've known it as expeditionary learning. And so I don't want to speak, when I think of it, I do think of expeditionary learning. They've changed it to EL education, but you're totally right. We have seen Austin's Butterfly many times in our school, and it's at the foundation of what we do. And so we talk a lot about high quality work and how you get there. And that video where Ron Berger is leading his students through all of the different drafts and they're critiquing each other with the kind, helpful, specific feedback, it is, I agree, it's very powerful. And it's a joy as a teacher to watch kids go through those steps and then see the end product compared to the first. And so that's a great connection to make. That's one of the reasons I love working at an EL school.
I love telling students, hey, if Austin just called it quits after that first iteration, if his teacher moved on, if he moved on, he might conclude, I've got no skill here. I've got no talent, no ability to grow, but keep at it. And the power of feedback and multiple iterations is just, it just hits you every time.
I got it now. Would it be okay if I read my school's mission statement, the vision?
Absolutely. Please do.
Because I wanted to make sure I get it right. So my school is Arborvitae Woodruff, but we shortened it to AVW. So it's AVW is committed to empowering each student to make a positive difference and to achieve personal greatness. I just wanted to get that in the records because I love it.
Yeah. And making that positive difference. I think you mentioned the personal greatness earlier, but it's greatness for what, right? I think that's such an important key. Well, Jeremy, you've already touched on a couple parts of this, but how are you looking to grow Let me try that again. How are you looking to grow professionally and improve your practice right now? Can you share with us about a specific professional goal or a project that you are currently working on this year?
Sure. This year, and I think it will just continue to be, is my biggest professional goals just stem from bringing energy and positivity to the classroom. I want to keep up with my routine of having my newsletter go throughout the week and then sharing it out on Fridays. And I guess for me, it's more like looking at my classroom as, because I'm a science teacher, so a science lab, where as I learn things or come across them, to not be afraid to try them out and to see what they, you know, what happens, what I like, what I don't like. Let go of that notion that everything's got to go perfect the first time. This year I've picked, because I see it everywhere, I've picked edgy protocols to practice a little bit. And so I've done that a few times. So that's one of the more current things that I've done. I really want to focus on bringing more relevancy to what we're working with, making more connections. Being a social studies and science teacher, those connections are abundant, but to be more mindful about that in the hopes that kids will be a little more invested in what we're learning in class. And then, as I said, just to not become stagnant, to continue to grow. A big thing I've thought about a lot, even when we do this interview now, is we are asking students all the time to step out of their comfort zone. We're always asking students or giving them feedback and expecting them to do something about it. But I find as a teacher, I don't often put myself in position to do that. And it's kind of why I started doing the writing and why I'm here with you is to kind of go through those things and use them as opportunities to learn as I go and to get better. I think it's a good example for kids to see, but also a good way to look at life, mm-hmm. To not be afraid of things. You don't have to be good at something to do it. You just got to do it. And then if you like it, you'll get better over time. So I hope that gets to the heart of your question.
Absolutely. Well, let's keep going with that theme. Outside of education, Jeremy, what's another area of learning for you? What is it that ignites your passions outside of the classroom and brings you alive as a human being?
Sure. I love this one. I am passionate about summer camp or outdoor adventures. And I have a connection to a camp in the Great North Woods called YMCA Camp Jorn. And my time with that camp is one of the main reasons I ended up being a teacher. And so my experiences there led me to this moment. And so my new passion is I am fairly new to their board of directors. And so I sit on the board, and so I am passionate about becoming a better board member, someone who does good for the camp. I'm passionate about getting kids to go to camp. Now more than ever, I believe those unplugged outdoor experiences are really needed and valuable. So I want to get as many kids, preferably to go to Camp Jorn as possible, but any summer camp or any outdoor adventure. A very exciting thing is this summer, someone donated $1 million, wow. Yes, to the adventure and tripping program at the camp. And I was a trips director there as well. And so now I get to be part of the group that determines how to best use that money to get those kids those experiences that I think are actually life-changing and life-centering. And so I would say number one outside, that's my passion.
You're taking me back with that last item to a different time in my life. And let's say 20 years ago when I was privileged to work with an inner city camp as well. And taking some underprivileged youth completely off the grid into a camping area, backcountry camping that was, again, off the grid, not accessible by car, required canoe and portaging to get there. And I sort of shudder now at the thought of going on those adventures without a satellite phone. But everyone came back alive, and just the memories and opportunities, as you said, when phones and screens are not a part of it, and just building relationships with kids. I am resonating with that in a big way. Jeremy, share about one personal habit or productivity hack that contributes to your success and keeps your fire burning. How do you get it all done?
Well, I can't say that this is a complete success yet, but it's ongoing, is I have started to be more mindful and consistent with my version of a weekly review. And so I'm trying to make Sunday that day where I look back on the week and I focus on things like my successes. I ask questions like, did I take time to renew myself? What things did I learn last week? What are things that I want to remember or apply? I look for a little motivation on Sunday. I call it like owning my actions. So inspiration in the form of stories or a quote. I'm even starting to experiment a little bit with affirmations or setting some things that I just repeat to myself throughout the week. Keeping track of my next actions and kind of organizing them in a way, like which ones are the most important, those sorts of things. And then finally, to really take time to be grateful and to focus on things that are great in my life. And I started doing this because just like sending out that newsletter, it's a great way to really slow down. And really the biggest part is pausing and looking at all the wonderful things that are going on, and everything so fast paced these days that if I don't make that time in my schedule, I feel like things are just going to go by and I'm really not going to appreciate them or take from them what I want.
I've really enjoyed those roundup from the week posts that you've shared on Medium. And I think it is such a valuable practice to look back and glean from the experiences that you've just had. And that goes back to your comments from Austin Kleon about just sharing what you're doing. It's valuable stuff, and teachers enjoy hearing about highs, lows, adversity, challenges, your moments of learning. It's going to be valuable. There's always an audience. Jeremy, we're moving into your quick picks, the education voices and resources that are shaping your practice and inspiring your thinking today. So I'm going to ask you to try to keep your responses to just one or two if possible. I know it's really, really difficult. Are you ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. Starting at X, tell us about one person we should follow on X and share why they've been inspiring you lately.
Okay, I picked Dave Burgess, who is the Teach Like a Pirate guru. And I really enjoy those Teach Like a Pirate chats throughout the week.
Point us to an ed tech tool that you currently love using in your classroom or somewhere in your professional practice.
Right now, it would be quizzes, and especially in relation to some edging protocols.
Recommend one book. Now, you've dropped some great titles in this conversation already, but tell us about one that you've been reading lately or one of your all-time faves and why you recommend it.
Right now, actually, as a staff, we're reading Atomic Habits together by James Clear. And the whole idea, 1% better every day. And 10 years from now, you'll know if you pick the right habits or not.
I love his idea of not missing twice. So encouraging. Jeremy, are you a podcast listener? We didn't prep this before the show, so maybe you're not. But if you are, can you tell us about a podcast that you enjoy?
Yes, I do listen to podcasts. Lately, I've been listening to Ali Abdaal. He has a podcast called Deep Dives, where he interviews successful people in their fields. And I love the all of that.
I'm familiar with his work as well. And on a related note, tell us about a YouTube channel that you enjoy. Now, maybe this is just one that is amusing to you personally, or you could go to one that has been helpful in the classroom.
All right. I am a TED Talk guy, so I watch them usually on YouTube. And I'm putting a shout out for three of them. Three A's of Awesome, Inside the Mind of a Master Procrastinator, and Everyday Leadership.
Oh, that procrastinator one is so good.
Yes.
Tell us what you are streaming on your downtime right now, just for fun, whether it's Netflix, Disney, Apple Prime. What are you and your loved ones watching these days?
Hands down, Ted Lasso. Over and over again, love Ted Lasso. Apple TV.
Jeremy, this has been a pleasure and a privilege. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Tell the listeners and viewers, what are the best ways to follow you?
So as you said, on X, it's Jeremy A. Jorg. Instagram, it's Y_Edify. And then my website is called Y Edify. You could search for it that way, or just jeremyajorgensen.com.
And just as we wrap up, do you want to explain anything more about Y Edify? Tell us about that name and the significance. What's going on there?
Yes, I was hoping you'd ask this. and I wrote some things down. So if you give me a moment, I want to scroll back here, because your question really spawned like some internal reflection on my part. Mm. And so for me, when I think of edify, I think of the whole notion of building up. And when I think about it, it's building up in a mind, body, kind of in a spirit way, all three of those together. So when I say why edify, to me, it's kind of reminding me of my why. Mm. But also, I think of the reasons why doing that is worthwhile. And if you have time, I'd like to read some bullet points to just clarify a few things. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so when I think about it, here are some things that I think of when I'm writing or doing work for that website. First one I said earlier is you don't have to be good at something to do it. If it brings you joy, do it. Learning and reflection make life better. That's a premise I've come to believe. This one I really have thought a lot about lately is choosing to become a better version of yourself is actually also an act of community service. And so whether that's through education, reflection, and then applying it, service to others, or even your physical health, all of those ways you are good for you, but also I believe good for those around you in your community. Teachers are my people. And so teachers are awesome. And I want to send out stuff that helps them in any way, I hope. Students are my people. And students are awesome. And then I'm fully embracing that whole, people say it's cliche. I just think it's truth that kids are the future. And the more we remember that, especially educators, I think that will help us keep our passion in times, or our fire, if you will, when things get increasingly challenging. Thanks for letting me do all that.
Oh, that is all gold. I enjoyed that list a lot. Thank you so much for sharing. I'm glad we got to that. Glad we got to that. So teachers, make sure you are connecting with Y Edify. I know just this week as we prepped for the show, I was able to find you on Facebook. I'm now following you there. And yeah, teachers, make sure you are connecting with Jeremy on YEdify and again on medium.com. Well, Teachers on Fire, again, I'm your host, Tim Cavey, and I'm so grateful that you decided to spend some of your day listening to this podcast or perhaps watching this video. I hope that in some way the content you heard from Jeremy Jorgensen sparked your thinking and ignited your practice. And I'll meet you next week again right here on the Teachers on Fire podcast. Take care, teachers, and I'll see you in the next video. Bye-bye. Even when you feel slow, you can still go. Even when there's no hope, you can still go. I never answer to no, man, I still go. Go, go.